Hiya, welcome to Infinite Potential Podcast. We're shooting a quick 20-minute episode this morning because we had a fuck-up with the Eastern and Western times.
We were meant to do 1 p.m. Eastern, and we thought it was different to actually what it is. So yep. We got a bit of time on our hands, thought we'd do it.
So we'll be recording that later at 6 o'clock tonight. We've got 20 minutes to burn, and we just thought we'd pluck a topic out of the air. So, success, Alex.
Success, big subject.
Yeah.
Very subjective.
Yeah, so
to the mum who takes her kids to school and looks after her kids, that's probably a success to her. To a business person who has worked all his life, you know, 100 million quid in a bank account is probably success to him, possibly. Yeah. And I think it's basically based on your life experiences before we'll create what you perceive success to be, and based on your spiritual awareness, your consciousness level and stuff, I think that sort of can have a big influence on what you perceive it to be. Yeah.
So would you say it's always something that has to be achieved that's external, so it's coming from the outer environment?
No. I think the further that you progress, not that it's any better or worse, but I think that the further that you sort of progress up the scale of consciousness, if you like, you always go within, and you realise that the without is just a perception.
But do you think we're, from a young age, as soon as we start to develop logic, would you say that we're led to believe that it's from an external source, success to be achieved?
I think we're led to believe that, yeah. But I think that's just because overall, humanity isn't at the level where they do go within, that they're still without. They still think that, you know, something outside of themselves is going to create happiness within themselves. At the end of the day, what is success? Success is what fulfills a person inside.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, what do you want 10 million quid for example? You want it so you feel content within yourself.
Yeah.
It's actually within anyway. It's just the external looking to get it in order to fulfill what's going on inside. Do you know what I mean?
So just expand on that a little bit more. Why do you think that so many people do acquire what they believe to be success, but then sooner or later they'll find out that it's not the answer? Like that famous quote from Jim Carrey saying, "I wish everybody could be rich and famous."
Yeah.
So they realise that it's not
the answer.
Not the answer.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Just, do you think that, could you expand on the fact that why that's not success, or why we're led to believe that is success?
Significance, do you mean?
Yeah, why do you think so many people are still chasing it?
Because they don't know any other way. That's what they're pushed
through conditioning.
Yeah, that's what they're pushed to achieve. They're pushed to achieve monetary wealth and significance in the face of others, yeah.
But do you think it's a bad thing? Because I think I'm always in...
It's not a bad thing. No, it's not a bad thing. I think it's a life journey, and yeah. I think people go through it.
We're all just here to play a game.
Yeah, playing a game. It's just a movie on the screen of life, innit? And I think if you keep playing that movie and believing the movie is you, that's the issue. As soon as you not detach, you become non-attached, which is different. It's when you become non-attached to the movie and you become... You go inside, not outside. Is when
isn't everyone the star of their own movie?
Yes, you've got your own. It's your own universe, isn't it? Yeah. But it depends how far you want to go back, don't it? I mean, it's only because I've spent hours and hours and hours reading and stuff that I could even contemplate not going outside. It's just sort of where you are in.
So, talk to me a little bit about the book you've been reading just lately. So, Alex had just got back from Marrakesh in Morocco.
Lovely place. Highly recommended.
And he's having a second read through. Second read through David Hawkins' book. Is it the third of the trilogy or the second?
That's the second, yeah.
The second of the trilogy, The Eye of the Eye. So the Eye of the Eye. Yeah, I believe. From which nothing is hidden. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Alex?
Sort of a masterpiece, in my opinion.
How would that change your opinion on what success is, just by reading that book?
How would it change your opinion on what success?
Or does success even exist?
Well, I think it depends how success is defined again, but if you're essentially in the space of duality, which is to say you're not everything,
yeah,
at that point,
so we're in the physical world, we're all
separate, the ego and mind,
we're all living in duality, positive, yeah, and negative, yeah, yeah. So therefore evil has its place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. If you're working on the principle of...
Who's decided it's evil?
Well, yeah, exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's just labels that we, yeah, put on with the ego mind.
Like, it's a bit of a harsh comment, but rape to Satan isn't bad.
Mm.
It's good if you believe in the devil or whatever you believe,
yeah,
in.
Just, yeah.
It's a scale, isn't it, of one thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you think is the... would you recommend anyone read this book, or...?
I think it's a book that needs a lot of work to get through. It ain't easy read, and I think you've got to pay the price to get what you want out of it. So you have to read like each paragraph a couple of times because you need a lot of energy being put into it.
Yeah, I love David Hawkins' work, and as well Alan Watts. If anyone's heard of Alan Watts, famous Buddhist and Zen philosopher and translator of Zen Buddhism. But I just find that when I read any of his, when I listen to any of his videos on YouTube or read any of his work, I just find that it puts me at such peace with reality or whatever it is. It's just sometimes I find it hard to function because it's not in a bad way. I just find that you're kind of so passive that you can become too passive as to what's going on.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, there's a fine line there, I think, between looking at what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Which is external to yourself and going, that needs a change, that can't keep going as it's going. For example, the slaughter of animals or whatever.
Yeah.
Or, and the other side of the coin where it's all perfect anyway, because that's essentially the will, the divine will.
Yeah.
Fine line there.
Yeah.
I mean, I jump on either side of that fence quite frequently, because I've studied all the conspiracies and whatever else that goes on.
Yeah. It's easy to see that from such an evil point of view, which I believe, well, probably putting a label on it that it is, but if you look into like Jordan Maxwell's work as well, big conspiracy theorist, or as you would say, a true theorist, but he has a very like doomsday approach to the world, and I don't think it has to be that way. That again, that's all, whatever state of mind you have is what you'll see on the external.
Yeah.
So
that's it.
Yeah.
If you can hear a dog, that's because our mascot's here.
Yeah, and he just doesn't stop eating. So let me just go and see to him.
Alex, do you want to carry on talking about
his name's Cub. He's a border collie.
He's a cocker spaniel.
Oh, he's a cocker spaniel. Lovely little thing. Yeah, so if anyone hasn't listened to the work of or read the work of David Hawkins, I'd highly recommend that you pick up the book. His first book was Power versus Force. He was a psychologist, psychiatrist back in the 60s and 70s. He wrote Power versus Force as a book that showed how to use kinesiology to measure the level of consciousness in people. You could basically tell truth from falsehood. So anything that was truth. Oh, look who it is.
Do you want to say hello?
Oh, don't get eaten that.
Alex paid a lot of money for those.
He's eating the microphones, the dog. Yeah, so David Hawkins he wrote a book called Power versus Force. He found that by using kinesiology, which is like a scientific approach, it's like using the muscles of the body, he could collaborate the levels of consciousness in anything.
Mm.
So anything that made you go strong, the body go strong, was truth. Anything that made it go weak was, it wasn't false, it was just non-true. Because false generally doesn't exist. It's like light and dark. Dark doesn't exist. You can't shine darkness. Yeah. You can only shine light, don't you? It's the same as false. You can't have false. You can just have not true.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what he created this book. And he did a trilogy, which was the second one. So the first one was Power versus Force. Then it was the eye of the eye. Then it was subjectivity and reality, I think it was. Fascinating books. Highly recommend reading them. But they do require a lot of time and effort while reading them. It's not a simple novel. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you recommend reading something else a bit more deep in the dirt when you're reading it? So maybe like,
who come up with that saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, or something like that? There's a saying, something like that, like a Buddhist saying something. And I'm a big believer in that. So if it doesn't resonate with you, just don't read it. Read something else, you know. Because you can read a lot and not do anything.
And just before it goes too deep, I just want to say, like, anyone thinking that believes success is all kind of external, like money driven, fame and fortune, whatever, that's completely fine in its own right. If it's a lesson to be learned, then
exactly right. Yeah. It's part of people's journeys, and you got to go through that. Yeah, but I think I agree, 100% agreed. And I think you just sort of go through it. It's not better or worse. It's like, as Peter Sage said to us, it's like, what's better, a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old?
Yeah.
There's nothing better or worse in anything. It's just, and that's perception again, isn't it? Better or worse to who? So.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think sooner or later you'll get eye openers or challenges, either physically, mentally, emotionally, that will kind of bring you back to what's real. So health, family, like things that really, or self-fulfillment, so things that really make you feel that you've got some kind of purpose in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you. But we'll talk about family, because that's the one you brought up. Everyone loves their family, or most people love their family.
Yeah.
It's not the family, it's the love.
Yeah.
Are you with me? So it's like, even that's within. So yeah, you can physically see them, but it's not the physically seeing them that creates the feeling within again.
Explain that a little bit more.
So like, for example, when the mother gives birth to a child, there's an unconditional love for that child.
Yeah.
It's the feeling with it. It's not the physical kid.
Yeah,
itself. It's the feeling within that's actually that the physicality has created that, which is the universe is creating that for itself.
Yeah,
you with me? That's how I see it, anyway. I mean, could be completely off the mark here.
Yeah.
All opinion is worthless. It's not worth anything. Like people say, I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
But why? What would you? Someone expect my opinion for? It's only based on my life experience. You could have had a far better life experience. You could have far more life experiences than I had, and therefore my opinion pretty much worthless, really.
Yeah.
So I just think different way of looking at things, like, oh, I respect your opinion. Why? Why should anybody respect people's opinion for? Just love them anyway, regardless of it.
Yeah, I think you say different way of looking at things. I think that comes down to I think the quality of life in general can be massively altered just by the way of looking at things.
Mm.
So, but does it take something so painful to be able to look at things in a different way? Because a lot of the time, if the more unconscious you are, seems to be so unconscious, as in just kind of passively going from job to food to whatever you are doing in the Western society. So the more unconscious you are, it seems to be like the message of pain will be even more like intense.
If you're in the West?
No, like if the more unaware you are of what's going on.
Mm. Like, but you're living in those fields of consciousness, aren't you?
Mm.
If you're unconscious to what yourself and the world, in the overall world, you're going to be living in that. That's normal to you.
Mm.
Because once you get into sort of what Hawkins calls truth, you start to just move above those.
But what is truth?
Feelings. Truth is, I can't talk about it objectively, can I?
Yeah.
Subjective again, innit?
Yeah.
But this is what Hawkins basically, because he was so, I mean, he had a practice in New York and he was always fully booked and whatever. And then he moved more into spirituality rather than psychiatry. Yeah. And he used kinesiology in order to create this scale that could link physical and spiritual, which has never been done before. Yeah. I think the guy should have won like a Nobel Peace Prize
or something. He worked a lot with like alcohol addictions and drug addictions as well. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, he uses the 12-step. He likes the 12-step system. I mean, I've never really looked at it. You know, the AA?
Yeah.
The 12-step system they use. He's a massive advocate of that. I think it's fantastic, yeah. I mean, I don't know much about it, mate, to be honest. But essentially, alcohol...
Isn't it something like alcohol in itself will temporarily raise someone's level of consciousness, so it gives them higher... According to his scale of consciousness, will give them temporarily higher feelings. That's mm-hmm. why people go back to it so much, or obviously drugs even higher still. But then obviously the come down you get from that will put you in a lower state of consciousness.
Yeah, that's it.
Or feelings, so like guilt, fear, keep you down in the dirt, guilt, fear, apathy, those kind of lower level emotions. Whereas temporarily, what he says temporarily, it's like there's clouds there. Once you drink the alcohol, the clouds kind of dissolve, but it's only... you're there, you can dissolve them anyway. It's like they're not really there, it's all an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
So
what he says is the higher levels of feeling are there to be accessed already within yourself anyway, without anything external.
Yeah, it's the removal, not the gaining of anything. We're already perfect at source,
yeah,
but we've got that much clutter, and that's the problem. You don't need anything else, you just need to remove everything. This is a problem I have with it myself, because I run a few businesses. And it's like, oh, I want to start another one. And I want to do this, I want to do that to fulfill myself.
There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think.
No, there isn't nothing wrong with it, as long as you're aware that that's not going to fulfill you.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's perfect if that's what you want to do. If that's how you want to serve the world. But as long as you know that unless you fulfill yourself within yourself, nothing out there is going to do it.
Mm.
As long as you're aware of that, it's not going to cause you any grief. Fine. Perfect.
Yeah,
but I think people don't know that, and I think you go through the school system and whatever, and it's, you know, get a job, get good grades, go to university, whatever else, get, you know, work 9 to 5 for the rest of your life. That's not going to fulfill very many people at all.
That's why you still get people searching for that,
yeah,
something else or whatever it is.
But then you find a lot of people fall out of that, which is great if they want to do that, and then they fall into the self-employed realm, and then they think, shit, this should be different. And they don't feel no different.
Yeah.
They might have more time, but they don't feel any different within themselves. They'll probably start working like I do sometimes. I work just to work.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to it because I need to have something to do. I can't just sit there.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, it's not all rosy. I think humanity has quite a difficult time, to be fair. Mm. I think they've signed up for.
Yeah. So. But I think, so the people that, what about the people that kind of are just, that they just do say that they're so happy doing, just kind of living the average life. I personally don't think there's anything wrong with that at
perfect.
All. I think
it's absolutely perfect, yeah.
So what's the difference then? Do you think, what's the difference between those two kind of people, the kind of person that's just happy to do 12-hour night shifts and just be completely happy with that and have their like small external pleasures on the outside? Those little kind of escapes from reality. What do you think makes? What do you think sets opposed those two different people?
Compared to the person
who's just
wants to grab it by the scruff of the neck and make something.
Yeah.
I think the drivers of them. But what they like, for example, you have ambitious people. People who probably aren't as ambitious. They're more content within themselves.
Yeah. But do you think it's already inbuilt, or do you think it's conditioned?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Dog's playing up again.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's quite a big subject. I mean, success and wealth and whatever else. You sort of go past a level where money, which is what a lot of males seek, and significance connection, people, you sort of go past that level. It's not wrong or right, it's just people you've had enough of it.
I think what Peter Sage says about asking better questions in terms of if you're seeking money, for example, is it the money you're seeking or is it the feeling behind the money?
It's the feeling behind the money.
Yeah. So is it the emotion you're seeking?
It's pride, isn't it, normally?
So...
But what do you seek
for? So how do you gain that feeling of fulfillment? Is it just by realizing that there's a different question towards it, or is it just by awareness, or So if you're trying to if you're trying to feel an emotion behind the goal, how is that achieved? Just
you transcend it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to put into words when it's wordless. You know, but how can you explain it? It's the doer, the doing, and what's being done is the same thing.
The doing and what's being done is the same thing.
Yeah. In essence, in the essence of what everything is, the doer, what's been doing, and who it's been done to, is all the same thing. So looking for money and the act of getting the money is actually you anyway. You it's your universe that's doing it.
Yeah.
There's no actual duality between the two.
Yeah.
But the ego creates that duality. Yeah. Creates the two. Do you know what I mean? And that is the root of all suffering. So Buddha says the attachment is the root of all suffering. Attachment means that there's you and a me, or you and an it.
Yeah.
That creates attachment. So you remove the attachment, you've got non-duality, therefore there's no suffering anymore.
Do you think, yeah, okay.
And I'm not there, by the way, it's just words to me.
Yeah.
I can't even comprehend that because I'm at that level. Yeah.
But I think as well it's important just to be where... happy with how far to be celebrate how far you have come.
Yeah.
And no matter where you are in life, I mean that's hard to say. Depend on some people listen to this might think that that's just impossible, but no matter what pain or challenge you come across, there's always they can kind of say there's always a reason for it, or it's there to help you in a way. So it's like the pain teacher.
Well, acceptance is one of the closest ones to the border of truth, according to Hawkins's scale. Acceptance is accept what is. Because the minute you start fighting the reality that's going on, you'll start getting depressed and the feelings of grief and whatever else. Because it's all energy, and everything's energy. Science is just backing all this up now, that everything's basically empty space and it's just vibration. If you look at grief and apathy, which is towards the bottom, you then have anger. So people think anger is quite a bad emotion, which it isn't great. But if people are in grief, it's good to get them angry.
Yeah, because it stimulates change.
Yeah, stimulates change. Probably you won't probably hear that at like a therapy session, but based on energy, you've got far more in anger than you have in grief and apathy.
Yeah.
So you have to say that that's wrong. It's just perception again, isn't it? Yeah.
Right and wrong is just obviously labels that we put on. But then again, you can obviously, when morals come into it as humans, there's obviously like a universally accepted moral language that we all should... or try and abide by, would you agree?
Yeah, of course.
A moral code.
Yeah. And this is why I have such an issue with like governance and that. I'm like an anarchist. But that doesn't mean go mad and trash the place.
Yeah.
Anarchy means no ruler. I don't believe human beings need to be ruled.
Yeah.
I think they want to be. I don't think they need to be.
Is that because they're so trapped in fear? So
yeah.
I think something like a little analogy Tom Campbell uses, who's a NASA physicist, and now he's like a researcher of consciousness. Tom Campbell basically said something like, if you've got 50 people in on the planet, or living in like a dome, say like in experiments, you've got 50 people in one, and they're living out of fear. So they've been like programmed with fear, a fear-based mindset.
Yeah.
You'll ultimately get them eventually maybe fighting amongst themselves, and then you'll get somebody trying to lead.
Yeah.
Or somebody trying to, not lead, but kind of take control. So they'll be fighting amongst themselves, somebody will try and take control of the group, and then people will eventually follow because they're living in fear, something along those lines. And then on the other hand, if you've got everybody living out of love, which is arguably the opposite of fear, is that right?
Love is the opposite of fear.
Yeah.
Well, there is no opposites, don't exist.
Well, not opposites, but so it's on...
It's a lack of love.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So say if you've got 50 people on the other side, or on another planet living out of love, they will obviously all sort of work in coexistence and work to help each other, because they're kind of living out of a love-based mindset, living through the heart, and then they'll obviously start to create... So on the left side, people living out of fear, you'll start what we've got today, like governments... Yeah, so people ruling over other people, and then people will kind of follow just because they want to be ruled subconsciously. And then you've got the other group of people living out of love that kind of all work together and just build more exciting things and work with nature and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Agreed. And I think if you look at the ancient tribes, we go to the South America, they still do that now, where they've got no government yeah, ruling just... them. But they generally have a hierarchy. They'll have a medicine man or whatever who's sort of at the top of their social structure.
Yeah. There's always going to... Obviously, we could go into archetypes and everything there, here and there. Like, obviously, there is a role to play.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I think if people just work more towards living out of... choosing love over fear, then that itself will improve the quality of life.
Agreed.
So having and obviously just seeing other people and having things happen. So if you have like a confrontation with your boss at work, where's the lesson there? So if you believe in Arnold Patton's work and the mirror principle, I think they mentioned that in the Secret as well. So the mirror principle, so whatever is coming from somebody else is like a mirror image back to you. So why is the conflict there? Is it me or is it the person, or is it something, blaming something outside yourself?
Duality again.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
Yeah.
But you can get to the point where you don't do anything. You see, what's the point?
Yeah.
Which probably ain't the most effective thing to be doing, especially in the Western world.
Yeah. We wouldn't function. That's why I think it's all just, we're talking about it now, but it's all, everything's just perfect as it is, I guess.
It is. Yeah. And then you're going, so, well, why is the world such a shithole? Well, it's any shithole, but why is it in such a mess with wars everywhere and whatever? And you say, well, is it perfect anyway? And then you're like, well, I can't.
Yeah, it's good. It's unfathomable for the human mind to accept that, isn't it? Because it is. Like, of course, it is evil. Some of the stuff that go on is evil, but I'm obviously conditioned to put that label on it, but that's how it feels. Do you know what I mean? So, but that's, we work a lot of emotion, don't we? So you've kind of transcended all that, which I'm a long way away. I'm still down in the dirt.
Yeah, no,
physical health.
No one is. No one is, and everyone's on the right journey. It's just, I mean, if someone, for example, listens to this podcast, takes something from it, then that's job done for us, because that's our mission, and hopefully they can just start passing it on.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, pass it on, that film, whatever it was.
Oh, Pay It Forward.
Pay It Forward. Yeah.
Great film if anybody wants. Actually, it's got Kevin Spacey in, so I don't know if you put judgments aside. Well,
I was going to make a bad joke then, but I called.
But do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah.
So, but I think ultimately, we've started talking about success. I think that it is all relative to each person. There's no right or wrong when it comes to success. I mean, I think try and pay attention to the things that really matter, instead of getting caught up in the rat race every day, or whatever you're doing. I think things that have true value, like health, family, and you know, the people that you love.
Yeah.
And knowledge and wisdom and that kind of stuff. That's obviously subjective to me as well. But
I think from my perspective, if I could give one piece of advice to people, not meditation or anything like that. I'd like just sit in contemplation, like, and just.
I think you can drive yourself mad though.
Well, only if you let your mind run off.
Yeah.
Well, if you disassociate yourself with the thoughts that are running through your head, which you don't cause anyway, they just come in. You don't cause them.
Yeah.
So just to
just be an observer of the thoughts coming in without judgment
and you start laughing at them.
Yeah.
Like an angry thought will come up and you'll start laughing at the angry thought.
Yeah.
Because you realise the thought isn't you.
Yeah.
And I think if people can start,
you start reprogramming.
I think so. When you realise the thoughts you think aren't you, is when you start reprogramming. Yeah, big time.
And it's like that. We could obviously go and talk about this more in another podcast. But the fact that we're studies now are revealing that we're like 99.9% space, and that there could actually be more substance in the air or in the ether or whatever you want to call it than there is in our physical bodies.
Yeah. 100%. But
science is only just starting to touch on the kind of the other energy bodies, isn't it? So
So thanks a lot for tuning in.
Just remember, obviously, whatever you want to achieve in life, health's going to play a massive part. So just get that.
You're an health guy, ain't you?
Yeah.
I'd say the physical bodies. I'd say it don't really matter, but there you go.
Now you've read my books.
Big believe in health and. If you love yourself, you love the world, don't you? And the world loves you back. So
yeah,
I think that's how you got to look at it. Yeah. Thanks a lot, everybody. Need to wrap it up. So cheers.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.